say amen tonight. We are so delighted again to be in God's house, to be able again to dip and to dab and to dig and to all of that into God's Word. To be able again to worship the God of heaven in spirit and in truth. To come together again that we can all edify one another. Lift each other up. And give honor and glory to the Lord God Almighty. To cry out to God, Lord, have mercy on all of us. And I pray tonight that we will get into the lesson as I have studied the lesson. If I become animated and all of that stuff, that's Brother Prewitt. Amen. But I want you to hear the word from the Lord tonight. I want to acknowledge a few brothers. And you know, yesterday, I feel bad because I got up here yesterday. I guess I was nervous. And I really forgot. And my mind was so focused on the lesson and preaching, I forgot to really acknowledge Brother Pierce. And to let him know that I am so grateful and thankful for him allowing me to come down this weekend to preach the gospel. This is truly a privilege, and I thank him so much for trusting me to work this pulpit this week. And I know that he's doing a fine job here in Spring Valley and throughout San Diego area. It was Brother Lomas that first brought me to the city of San Diego. I've been preaching a little time, and you know, it was Lomas that brought me down, and then it was Brother Leggett that gave me a job. Amen. And I was preaching with him for 2 years, and I want to thank him so much for that great opportunity and introduced me to this city. So I really want to thank him. I was in this city 11 years. I was born in this city. My spiritual birth took place at 69th and Imperial. And so I was here 11 years, and then I moved out to the Inland Empire. And so it was Brother Pierce that brought me back, and then Leggett gave me a job to preach. So them two brothers, I am so grateful and thankful to both of you. It means a lot to me. And not only that, Brother Lomas and Brother Leggett, they're my papas in the gospel. I've consulted with them on many occasions because as a starting preacher, man, I ran into a lot of obstacles. I ran into a lot of things that almost took me out the pulpit. But Brother Leggett and Brother Lomas counseled with me on several occasions, and by the grace of God, I'm still preaching the gospel. I want to thank Brother Dempsey and both them Kirkendall boys. We call them the Kirkendall boys. Amen. From the Raven Street congregation for putting the Sons of Thunder. Amen. For putting this meeting together, being a part of this great, great, great endeavor. And I just pray in, to God tonight that I can do my best and deliver God's word as to where everybody can get something that they can hold on to, as the song say, hold on to God's unchanging hand. And also I want to thank Brother Warner. Brother Warner is another preacher that has been instrumental in my life. Brother Warner baptized me. I heard my first gospel sermon with Brother John Lawson, and Brother Warner put me in the water. Amen. And him and I have been close friends ever since that first encounter. That brother, you know, he knew where I came from. He knew what I was going through. And that brother trusted me. So I'm forever grateful to him. And brother, and always to Brother Hawkins. Good to see you, man. And come down from the Inland Empire and support this work. So I done said all of that, and certainly Mead Valley. I want to thank Mead Valley, man. I got two sisters down from Mead Valley, and Sister Johnson and her brother, he's from Oceanside Church of Christ. His lovely wife from Church of Christ in Oceanside. And Sister Brown, she's from Mead Valley. I want to thank you all for coming out. Now that I've said all of that, now that's not on the clock, okay? That was not on the clock. Y'all got that? That was not on the clock. Amen. So tonight, we want to look at God's Word. Jesus now begins in the fourth chapter of the book of John. Mm-hmm. Our text comes from John 4:21 through 24. Mm-hmm. Jesus now is preaching and teaching. The Pharisees now began to get on Jesus. Mm-hmm. But Jesus realized that it wasn't his time to confront these Pharisees. Mm-hmm. So Jesus now heads north. And as Jesus head north, the Bible says that he tells his disciples, I must go through Samaria. But normally the Jews would go around Samaria. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus tells the boys, I'm going through Samaria. Because I got an appointment. He didn't say this, but this brother Freewitt now. Because I got an appointment at high noon. And the lesson yesterday was showdown at high noon. So now Jesus, he sets off and he heads north. And the Bible says that as they come into the city of Sychar, that Jesus sends the disciples on into the city. And Jesus is out by Jacob's well. And the Bible says that the disciples went on into a sidecar to buy food. But now, this is Brother Freewood again. I believe Jesus kept them boys on in because he had an appointment to do some teaching. And a lot of times you have to send the boys on because they're a little bit rough behind the ears. Amen. So Jesus says, y'all go on in town because I got to meet. Now that the Bible don't say that. Don't y'all run out here talking about Brother Freewood preaching false doctrine. But anyway, they goes on in town. And so now Jesus gets to Jacob's well. And Jesus encountered a woman there at the well. Amen? And now this woman comes to Jesus. Now I want us to look at verse 10 in that text. And we're going to work with verse 10 all this week. Because I believe if we understand the gift that Jesus is talking about, the Bible says, if you only knew the gift God has for you, and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. The gift. Amen. That gift is the Holy Spirit. Amen. So Jesus said, woman, if you only knew the gift that God has for you. Amen. Now watch Jesus. And then she said, but sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, she said. And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? Mm-hmm. And besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob who gave us this well? Mm-hmm. How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoy? Mm-hmm. Jesus replied, anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. Mm-hmm. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. Well, it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. I told you yesterday, I gave you an illustration. A bucket full of dirt. I want you to see this now. A bucket full of dirt. Amen. And that, this bucket is you. It's your life. It's full of dirt. Amen. It's full of filth. It's full of lies. It's full of fornication. Amen. It's full of adultery. Amen. It's full of envy. at the top, because that's the number one. That's the biggest sin in the church. Jealousy. Amen. I think that's how you spell it. Y'all know what it means. Jealousy. Amen. Now watch this. Now this is the bucket. It's cold dirt. Yeah. Amen. And then you got jealousy. I mean backbite. Yeah. Amen. We don't like to talk about these sins. We don't like to say our bucket is dirty. Amen. Yeah. Gossip. And you know what? Gossiping ain't nothing but lies. That's all it is. Secondhand information is never credible. Amen. Gossiping. What else? Y'all can call something out. Let me see what. What else? You know, do I got? Oh, stealing. Robbing God. That's stealing, amen. You know how we rob God?
Yeah, I know.
Contribution down? Just rob God? Huh? Whiskey.
Yeah.
Dope. Idolatry.
I know.
Now, the gift. The water. Spring. Bubbling. Just pour. Amen. Now watch this. Now look what Jesus says. Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I will give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. Now, that water. That water. If that water comes into this dirt, that water being Jesus, that water being the Holy Spirit, if that water comes into this dirt, guess what happens? It begins to move. It begins to move this dirt out. Amen. That's why we need the gift of the Holy Spirit to move a little of that filth out of your life. Amen. The more you put the water into the dirt. You done seen this happen before. You got a bucket of dirt. Now you begin to move it out little bit by little bit. Little bit by little bit. That's why it takes time in the church. That's why you got to be in the Bible classes. That's why you got to be in the worship service. That's why you got to study your book. That's why you got to consult with your preachers. That's why you need to consult with the elders. That's why you need to pray without ceasing. Amen. Because you need that living water. Amen. And Jesus says you'll never thirst again. And you just keep putting it in. The fornication might be a little hard when adultery might be, but he gets it out. You just keep on studying God's word. You keep on worshiping God, and then it begins to move it out. Has that ever happened to anybody in here? Am I the only one that happened to? Because I was still cussing when I came in the church. I was still fornicating when I came in the church. I was still lying when I came in the church. But the more I studied God's word, allow the water, that living water, it began to move it out. Amen. And it ain't so hard now to say no. Is that all right? See, I was still doing them things. Amen. So, am I the only one?
No.
I'm glad to hear that. Boy, I'm so glad to hear that. Well, sometimes I feel like the Lone Ranger. Amen. You keep that water coming in. And what it does is, guess what? It cleans the inside. But it got to be a living water. And it has to be bubbling. And it has to be continually running. Man, you can't be a Christian on Sunday and cut that water off on Sunday night. Jump on that phone and get the cussing. Jump on that phone and get the fussing. And talking about Brother Pre-Wins. And you better stop that mess. Amen. So Jesus says, look, woman, he says, if you drink this water, you will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I will give will never be thirsty again. And then watch this here. He says, it's a bubbling spring within them, giving them what? Eternal. You can't cut the water off. The problem in the church is we have cut the water off. That's why the church is full of all of this filth. Now, I know not down here in San Diego. I know y'all. I know it ain't happening down here. But I'm just saying, overall in the Christian world, I'm gonna put it on the Christian world. Why do you think the church is so weak? Why do you think the church is so weak? Because we don't turn the water off. Why do you think the church is so weak? Because we don't reject the gift. Amen. We just rejected the gift. Now watch this here. Let's move on real quick because I want to get to my text tonight. And look what he says. He tells the woman in verse number 15, please, sir, the woman said, give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again. And I won't have to come here to get water. Now that woman, that woman, she was probably an old woman because she'd had five husbands. Yeah, amen. And you know, the younger women was the women that went to the well because the well was way down the steps. She had five women and she was shacking up. Amen. And look what he said. Jesus says, go and get your husband. Jesus told her. She says, I don't have a husband. The woman replied. Jesus says, you're right. You don't have a husband if you have, because, he says, well, you have had five husbands, and you aren't married to the man you're shacking up with. Oh, that, no, he says, you're living with. He said, and then Jesus says, look, you certainly spoke the truth. And then the woman says, sir, you must be a prophet. Now look how she changed the conversation. Now Jesus had called her on her sin. You ever notice when folk call you on your sin, how you change the subject? You ever notice that? Now watch how she changed the subject and watch where she go. She says, sir, you must be a prophet. Hey man, you know how when you call somebody on their stuff, the first thing they do is say, man, you're a nice guy, aren't you? You sure is a nice looking fella. You know, you sure got it going on. Or you know, you sure, but look at her. You know, she said, man, you must be a prophet, right? And then So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim, where our ancestors worship? Now watch this here. Now watch the woman. The woman, look at how she just, she throw the smoke screen out at Jesus. She directs, she just trying to get, man, whatever, get this attention off of me. You ever notice how when it comes now, when we're confronted with our sins, the first thing we want to do is begin to argue about who's right, who's wrong, and you know, you ain't in the one church, you going to hell, you about ready to die. That's what we do. We might not want to admit it, but that's what we do. We go to a place that that's going to create an argument. We go there because we don't want the attention on us. We don't ever want to deal with our own selves. This woman is no different. And then watch this here. Jesus replied, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. He says, it won't matter. He says, it won't matter whether you worship in that mountain up there or whether you worship down there. The Samaritans and the Jews fought constantly about which temple was right. Which temple was right? Was the temple in the mountain of Samaritans right, or was the temple down in Jerusalem right? But Jesus says, it's coming a time. He says, well, none of that stuff will matter. Amen. And church, I'm telling you, that time is right now. As Jesus said it is, it's right now. And church, let me tell you something. And I stopped by to tell you the truth. We need to stop fussing and fighting about all of this little petty stuff. What we need to focus in on is what Jesus told this woman to focus in on. He says, you Samaritans know very little about the one you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. Jesus is telling this woman, y'all know very little about this thing. Why? Because you don't have the prophetic books. You only have the first five books of Moses. That's it. And you don't have the prophetic book. And he says, let me tell you something. Salvation comes through me. In other words, salvation comes through Jesus, the Jew. Amen. And so look what he says. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here right now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Spirit, I told you yesterday, plus truth equals worship. You cannot worship God any other way. Look what Jesus says in verse number 24. Let's go back up to 23. But the time is coming, indeed, it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. God don't,
you know what God don't want? God don't want my rhetoric. God don't need my rhetoric. God says that I'm looking for people that will worship me in spirit. I'm looking for folk that will be empowered, that will be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus said, this is who God is looking for. And then in verse number 24, for God is spirit, so those who worship him must. There is no other way. But guess what? We have been trying, honestly. And I know a lot of folk don't like what I said, but that's all right. We have been trying to worship God in truth. We done jumped ahead. We've been trying to worship God in truth. That's why we can quote every scripture in the Bible. But we still lie. We won't forgive nobody. Don't love nobody. See, humanly, it's impossible for me to do that. I don't care how much I read. Because Jesus said in John 14, I think it's 16 in there, he says that the Spirit will guide us into all truth. So the Spirit must guide me to the truth. So if I don't have the Spirit of God living in me, guess what happens? Then I cannot be obedient to the truth. No matter how much I try. You ever notice that we can quote scriptures and think about this here, church. Think about this. And I'm not being facetious or anything. But think about this here. The Spirit has been absent far too long in the church. He is missing in action. And as a result, look, when it comes to the Word of God, I mean, man, we stand above the rest. We are the elite force. But why are we constantly going backwards? Why is the church falling apart? We got the truth. You got brothers that can quote scriptures all day long. Why are we falling apart? Why? Because we are not empowered by the Spirit. So it does me no good to quote scriptures if the Spirit don't lead me to the truth. Jesus told that woman, you must worship God in spirit and in truth. There's no way in the world I can lie to you every single day and can't forgive nobody. Don't love nobody and expect for God to bless me. No matter how much I read, Jesus says to that woman, you must worship God in spirit and in truth.
Right.
Church, I told you yesterday that we will never get out of this hole that we're in until we embrace Him, the Holy Spirit. Now, we got to understand something, church, that no matter how, I want to find, it was a scripture that I had here. To worship God in spirit means simply that we must have His Spirit. That's what it means to worship God. So how do we do this in spirit and in truth? The phrase in the spirit is again causing confusion because people have twisted the meaning of what it means to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit. So to worship God in spirit means simply that we must have His Spirit. Not that His Spirit make us do anything or experience something unusual. See, the denominational folk, they bounce around with these pianos and organs and all of that stuff. They talking about that's the Spirit. That's a lie. That's not the Spirit. You know what? You know how you know that you and the church have the Spirit?
Well,
it's because you're going to see some love. there's going to be joy. You want to identify the spirit? There's going to be some peace. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. There's going to be some patience. I got a question. Do you have patience for anybody? See, the Holy Spirit, let me tell you something. I'm not going to jump ahead because I'm going to go there tonight. So to worship God in spirit means simply that we must have His Spirit. His Spirit. His Spirit. The Samaritan woman was questioning Jesus about where they were supposed to worship. As a Samaritan, they worship God in a different place than the Jews. Sir, the woman said, I can see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship on this mountain. But you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus corrected her and explained that it is not about where you worship, but it's about how you worship. See, we done got caught up, and a lot of us is caught up in these buildings. We caught up in these buildings and we caught up, but it's not about these buildings. It's about what's going on in my heart. It's about what's going on inside of me. The world needs us. And you know what? There's a big world out there. And in order for us to carry out the commission of God, we must be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Man, we can't do this on our own. I told you yesterday, all of this stuff talking about, you know, turn the cheek, slap me on one cheek and I turn the other cheek. You can't do that on your own. Then you slap me, I'm slapping you back. That's what my nature says, but the Holy Spirit says, no, turn the other cheek. Tells me to love those that hate me, that persecute me, that bring all manner of evil against me. I can't do that. I must be empowered by a supernatural force. I got to have the Spirit living in me to carry out God's will, to carry out God's commission. I must have the Holy Spirit. That's why Jesus says you must worship. And that's not just coming in on Sunday. Let's start before you get here. I showed you yesterday with the communion. That's why Paul could say many are weak and sickly amongst you and many sleep. He says that's why the church is so weak. Because you haven't been worshiping me. You have not been honoring me. You have not been with me all week. And now you come up in here and drink this juice. And you're bringing shame, not only shame, but you are bringing judgment upon yourself.
That's right.
He says, that's why you're weak. You think about that. You think about the church. Now, you know it's happening. Folks sitting up in here, they got grudges against each other since 1940, and they've been drinking juice since 1940. Taking the communion since 1940. Amen. Since 1940, just been bringing dishonor to God. You see, when you got the Spirit in you, the Spirit would tell you, go to the altar. Leave that stuff at the altar. That's what the Spirit says. Because the Spirit is bigger than me. Amen. And the Spirit says, you know what? You don't bring shame and dishonor to God. Amen. So church, what I'm trying to get us to see. Now, I'm not being facetious or anything. What I'm trying to get us to see is, look, we need the Holy Spirit in this. You want to grow? How many want to grow? Who wants to see a mega church? I know I do. I'm tired of these little 20, 30 people. I preach too hard for that. I'm tired of it. I want to see a mega church. I want to see this brother with 1,000. I want to have 1,000 inside. And brother, you got 2,000 and 3,000. That's what the Bible says. But you know how we're going to get there? We got to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Man, we can't bring nobody in there. How are we going to bring somebody in church? We just like them. Oh, God, Lord, don't go no further. We like them Pharisees. We'll cross a river. We'll cross a ditch. We'll cross a desert to go and get one convert and bring him in and make him twice the hell that we are. What? Why? Because Spirit is it. Jesus says, look, woman, he says, if you only knew the gift that God got for you. Says, look, well, let me tell you something. If you only knew. Oh, my friends, I tell you, we must have the Spirit. Now, Paul, we're going to deal with Romans 8 probably tomorrow night. I don't want to get there tonight, boy, because I'm telling you, that's a deep one. But so how do we, let me say this. What the church needs to do is work at living in peace with everyone. And work at living a holy life. See, because the church is spirit-filled. The church is spirit-led. The church is holy. The church is sanctified. That's the church that Jesus promised. In Matthew 16 and 18, oh, we quote that scripture. But Jesus did not promise this what we see today. Spirit filled. Spirit led. The churches are holy. We are holy people. We sanctified folks. We are set apart from the world. That's the church that Christ promised. We're going to deal with that on Thursday night. The church of Christ. And it ain't going to be beating up on denominational folks. It's going to be a spirit filled, a spirit led, a holy, sanctified church. That's why the first century church was growing at such an enormous rate. Because they were spirit filled. When you're not spirit filled, you're going backwards. That's why the numbers keep going down. Because we're not spirit filled. Well, don't nobody want, you wonder why the young folk leave. Well, you done talked about brother such and such and so and sister such and such and so for the last 18 years of the man's his life. Then you get up on Sunday talking about, oh, how I love Jesus. I'm telling you something. I know that don't go down on down here in San Diego. I know better than that. But I'm just talking about up there, that bunch I got. I'm just talking about them up there where I'm at. You know, not all of them, but some of them. Amen. The church, we have to understand something. The solution to the problems of the church today is to solve the individual's Christian's problem. We need to get this bucket clean. We need to get these lies out of our lives. If we want to build and go to church today, we need to solve the individual Christian problems, and the solution to those problems is a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit. We need to get to know Him. Most of us call Him an it. Or somebody. Most of us really don't know Him. And that's why we don't worship Him. I told you yesterday. And I mean this from the depths of my heart, with everything I got. You're not going to invite somebody into your house that you don't know. Amen. 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Bible says what? That we are the temple of God and the Spirit lives in us.
Right.
But He's not going to live there if we don't invite Him in. You're not going to invite somebody in your house that you don't know.
Right.
Why? Because you think He might have you playing the piano and organ or something. And tweaking, I don't know. Because every time you talk about the Holy Spirit, we try and push this stuff to denominational
folks. Right.
But look, we can't worship God. We cannot expect for God to bless us when we have denied the third person of the Godhead. When we have denied God. I told you, God is in heaven. Ain't that what the Bible says? It says Jesus is at the right hand. Now, who in the world is with me? He's with me. And I'm trying to get to the truth. I'm trying to get to the truth. And the truth, I'm blind. Are y'all with me tonight? So tonight, who's your dad? Who is your dad? Who is your dad? Well, we're going to see who your daddy is tonight. Jesus said in John 3, 5, and 6, I assure you no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of what? What? God help me, somebody. What and what? There's that gift again. Jesus says you can't enter the kingdom. You can't enter the kingdom unless you got the Holy Spirit. And you don't know Him. And you still y'all see where I'm coming. Maybe I'm not articulating this thing right. Maybe I get too excited. But I'm trying to tell you something. He says you can't even see. Or sometimes they say, see, you can't even see the kingdom.
Right.
Jesus told that woman, if you only knew the gift. If yeah. That's what troubles me, because we have denied. I told you I was in. We've denied him.
Yeah, Lord.
Yeah. A gift.
Yeah.
I don't want you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that gift.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't big enough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's bigger than everything, but the gift.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what disturbs me.
Oh.
That's what disturbs me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm not the right one to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway.
Well.
What disturbs me is this here, is that God have done so much for us, and we do so little for Him. See, if the Holy Spirit was guiding us, every congregation would have a feeding program called Folk Hunger. But see, we can walk right past that hungry man into our assemblies because the Spirit is not indwelling in me. See, the Spirit won't walk past. That's why we see, that's what disturbs me, is that we don't have resources. Jesus says we in the world. He says, but we're not of the world. So why don't we have hospitals? We beat up on the denominational folk. Get sick. Get sick. You be laying up in St. Stephen, St. Luke, St. Joe, and every other saint. Get sick. Be up in the Seventh Day Adventist Church eating that. What they eating? Them sardines. They be eating that sardine. You be up there eating sardines. You been eating chicken and steak. Now you go up in there, you gonna eat some sardines. And when the old Holy Roman come around on Saturday, you gonna laugh at him. All you want to do is get well. So why? That's what troubles me. Why don't we have schools for our kids?
Mm-hmm.
See, the Holy Spirit empowers us.
Mm-hmm.
The first century church, guess what happened?
Uh-huh.
They didn't think what was theirs, what they had, belonged to them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They sold what they had, and they brought it, and they laid it down at Brother Pruitt's feet. That was the apostle's feet. I'm sorry. Laying it at his feet. I'm just having fun with it. But watch this here. See, the Holy Spirit sold a land. We got 3-4 cars. Some only got 20,000 miles on it. Set in the garage. And I'm old as mud. Ready to die any minute, but I ain't even getting rid of my Buick. State them took my license, but I ain't getting rid of my Buick. It takes the Holy Spirit to get rid of that Buick. Did you know that? Amen. So why don't we have higher learning? Why? Don't you? Hey, you grown folks. Let me talk to y'all grown folks. Young folks, y'all all right for now. Let me talk to you up folk over 21. Happy? Look out. Let me talk to you. We got answers to this. We got the answer to God for this. I won't be able to put it on nobody. That's why I cry so much. I cry, Lord, what have I gotten myself into?
Oh, Lord.
Because I know I got the answer for this. Why ain't we got nothing for these kids? Why don't we have a resource center where the kids can just flop? We got buildings around here big enough. Resource centers where they can come in and they can get all of their homework done, where they can get everything that they need done. Why don't we have job resources? Jesus says we in the world, but we're not of the world. See, when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, you have your own resources. You know, see, the church is supposed to be self-sustained. All of us, and I'm not saying this for Jesus, but all of us is dependent on the government. Church shouldn't be dependent on the government. Should not be dependent on the government. We ought to be dependent on the Spirit of God. Let God empower us. It's enough for up in this room right now to take over this city. I told you yesterday, between all the black churches in San Diego, I guarantee you, we ain't got 1,000 folk.
Amen.
1.5 million folk in the city. Why? Because we don't rely on the Spirit. You know what we rely on? The truth. And we jack that up. Because the Spirit don't lead us to the truth. Who's your daddy tonight? Jesus says, I assure you, no man, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, brother. But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Jesus says, so don't you be surprised, church, when I say you must be born again. You must be born again. To enter the kingdom of God is to be saved. Colossians 1:12-14. To be saved, one must believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of his sin. There is one birth. There are two elements, water and the Spirit. Both are essential to the new birth. John 3:5 figuratively says, to be born anew is simply to obey the gospel. What takes place in the gospel? You hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38, Peter says, repent all of you and be baptized for what? For the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now watch this here. Water baptism has to be the female factor. When one hears the gospel and responds, then he has to be born again before he can enter the church, the kingdom. The water cleanses. The water refreshes and purifies a man's soul. The water is the natural. The water, the body is made up of 2/3 water. The water is the natural. Amen. And now watch this here. God breathed into man and man became a living soul or a living spirit. And so that's why Paul can say that my spirit must bear witness with the Holy Spirit. My soul must be cleansed. My soul must be refreshed. And my soul must be purified before the Holy Spirit can even entertain entering.
That's right.
I must be clean. And that cleansing comes through the water.
Right.
Amen. A thorough spiritual purification by the operation of the Holy Spirit is needed. Indeed, element of water and operation of the Spirit are brought together. It's brought together, church, in a glorious evangelical prediction. Back in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36, beginning in verse number 25. Look what God says. He says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. Your filth will be washed away. And you will no longer worship idols. And then God says in verse number 26 of Ezekiel 36, and I will give you a new heart. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And he says, I will put a new spirit. There's that gift again. God says, I will put a new spirit. Because your spirit has been polluted. Your spirit has been contaminated. Amen. He says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart. Says, I take it out and give you a tender, responsive heart. See, I told you. I've been trying to tell you, church. He says, look, and I will put my spirit in you. There's a gift again, isn't it? Do y'all see that? He says, I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees. You see what I told you? You cannot follow the truth unless you got the spirit You cannot follow the word. That's why we get it all twitched up. That's why we fight about everything. That's why we fight about who's going to serve chicken Sunday. We'll mess up the whole church, and it's not a heaven or hell issue. Ain't nobody going to hell about no chicken. If we would tear the whole church up. Why? Because listen. Look what Ezekiel said. God says, and I will put my spirit in you so that you that you will follow my decrees. And watch this here. Now I like this here too. And be careful to obey my regulations. He said, be careful. But you know how the only way that we're going to ever do that is we got to have the Spirit living in us. He has to be present in us. That's why when it says to forgive because I forgave you, it don't mean nothing. That's why when it says not forsaking the assembling of the saints, it don't mean nothing. That's why I said it's time to do personal work. Nobody shows up because it don't mean nothing. That's why we can talk about everything, talk about chicken. Why do you think we've been poked just like the woman at the well? Why do you think we keep changing the subject? Well, we can get up and preach a whole sermon on the Baptist church in Reverend. You know, don't call me Reverend. Man, I don't care what you call me. Let me tell you about him. Let me tell you about the Holy Spirit. Be arguing with you about I'm not a Reverend. I know I ain't God. So let me talk to you about the Holy Spirit. But we'll stay right there and fuss with this man about Psalm 111 and verse number 9 until we pass out. Eyes be mad. Everybody fight. Been beating up folk about Christmas for the last ever since I've been in the church. About Christmas. And everybody up in here got a Christmas tree. And we'll fight about that. Fighting about clapping hands. Having workshops and seminars, flying folk all over the country to talk about clapping your hands. And I don't care if you clap your hands down through this roof. Bust your head up against it. I don't care. I'm not going to fight with you about that. I don't believe no man in this building going to go to hell because they clap their hands. If you don't want to clap your hands, then don't clap your hands. But we will spend all of this time because, see why? Because we don't have that spirit in us. All these fornicators and liars and adulterers in the church. And we don't even deal with them. Brother get caught sacking up and everything else, and he on the table on Sunday. We don't deal with that. Why? Because the spirit ain't there. Brother done beat his wife for the last 6 months. And the preacher knows. And won't say nothing, brother. You all stop. Now set that brother down. Why don't we? Because the spirit ain't there. You mess around. You mess around and let that brother misquote the scripture. Put that brother in jail. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. That's why I'm getting an amen. I'll stay there for a while. Amen. But we know. See, God foreseen this. Who is your daddy anyway? Amen. Who is your daddy? Is it the spirit or is it Satan? He says, and I will put my spirit in you. He says, I will put it in you so that you will follow my decrees. That's why I'm going to give it to you. Because if you don't have it, guess what? You can't do what I tell you to do. So I've got to give you, he told that woman. Woman, if you only knew the gift. Y'all stay with me. I know this is not conventional Church of Christ preacher. I get phone calls about it. They talk about it, but that's all right. But anyway, I'm gonna preach the hell out of y'all tonight. Amen. Watch this here. The gift. Watch the gift. But you lose sight of the gift. Man, look at that. That's what disturbs me is the fact that it's free. Brother, give you a free meal, boy, you won't turn it down. Free cup of coffee, won't turn it down. Brother, drive all the way across town, tell my guy, give me a free suit or something. I'm all the way across town. But now, God done gave us the free gift. And we keep telling him, I don't want that. Because I'm standing on truth. We the only one got the truth. And everybody got a Bible up in their church. They might not do what we want them to do with it, but they got the truth. What they need is the Holy Spirit. Because that's what we need. Is that all right? Now watch this here. He says, and I will put my, I like this, I might just stay here all night. He says, and I will put my spirit in you so that you will follow my decrees. He says, because you're not ahead. He says, Israel, you can't do it. I done told you what to do, but you need my spirit. Church, we can't do it. We can't follow God, brother. How in the world are we gonna follow? How are we gonna follow God when God says, "Step out on faith, walk by faith, and not by sight"? We can't do that. We have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because, see, my spirit, the natural, watch this here now, the natural just tells me I need to touch it.
That's right.
I need to see the money in the bank. I'm not stepping out on faith. See, I'm not stepping out on faith. I need the spirit to dwell in me. I need the spirit to get me there when the Bible tells us, amen, that we are to, we are to live. All right, I'll get there in a minute. Amen. We can never do what the truth tells us if the Spirit of God is not in us. Spirit plus truth equals worship. We can never worship God if we don't have the Spirit of God living in us. The Spirit must live in us. 1 Corinthians 2:10 through 16. Watch Paul. Paul says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. He revealed them by His Spirit.
Right.
You want to know something about God? Let the Holy Spirit indwell you. Now watch this here. He says, but it was to us that God revealed these things by His Spirit. For His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secret. I told y'all, watch the gift. Look at it now. He says, now I don't know if it's in your Bible. If you have not tore it out, it's there. Look, he says, now watch this here. He says, for His Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one, verse number 11, no one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. You can't, you want to know about God? You got to have His Spirit. Why you think so many folks sitting up in the church that don't know the Bible, don't know nothing? Been here 40, 50 years, don't know nothing. Still fussing about the first principle. Still fussing about what? You want to know about God? This is how Jesus said, woman, look, I got a gift for you. And then he said, I just love this here. He said, you know what? You must worship God in spirit and in truth. So spirit plus truth equals worship. He says, if you want to know about me and be able to worship me to get to me, you know, I'm sitting up here. My name is God, and I'm sitting in heaven. You want to get to know me? Guess what? Allow my spirit to dwell in you. Get to know the truth and worship me, and then you can see me in heaven. That's the step. I told you last night. Look at here. You know, I told you about Jacob when he laid down and seen that ladder over there in Genesis 28. And when he began to see them angels ascending and descending. Y'all know the story. He seen them angels ascending and descending. You know, Jacob laid his head down. Is that all right? And when Jacob laid his head down, Jacob seen this thing and he looked up and he seen it. He said, surely, surely, this must be the house of God. Then Paul comes back in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians, I think 1 Timothy 3, about 15 in there, he says, but if I tarry long, thou to know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Now you want to get to heaven, guess what you have to do? You've got to be empowered by that spirit. Amen. That's why a lot of them angels were falling up off that ladder. I just believe that they couldn't make it up. Why? Because they was not indwelled with the Holy Spirit. If you're going to get to heaven tonight, you guess what? You're going to need a supernatural force or power indwelling in you.
Amen.
You might get to that first heaven. You might get up there on the cloud in a 747. You might even get in that second heaven, up there in the outer space. You might get up there in the center. You got enough money, they'll send you up there to the moon now. I guarantee you, you ain't going to get up to heaven. Up there where God is at. You're going to have a JP5 and all them other JP5s and JP6s and all that old jet fuel. It's not going to get you where God is. You got to be empowered by the Holy Spirit now. Now that ladder is going to be long. You're going to have to turn. You say, boy, it's going to come time as you go up that ladder. Folks going to be pushing you down. You know, them crabs going to be pulling at your brother, trying to pull you down. It's going to be times you're going up that ladder, and folks is not going to be so nice to you. But you still got to go. There's going to be times when folks going to do every manner of evil they can against you. Everything against you. They're going to steal from you. They're going to kill you. They're going to murder you. But guess what? You're still going to have to stay on that ladder. You got to stay on that ladder. Because that's where heaven is at. Jacob says, surely this must be the house of God. This is the gate. The gate of heaven. Paul says the church is the house of God. The church is the gate to heaven. This is where we work out our soul salvation in fear and in trembling. This is up in here. This is a dress rehearsal for eternity. You want to make it to heaven, man? You can't wait till you get up there and go look. When you get up there, ain't no room for you. You got to learn to love me right now. And you can't do it until you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because guess what? You know what? As you get older, Brother Levy, you know what I'm talking about. Amen. As you get older, hey, brother, don't that ladder get a little bit steep.
You better believe it. It's harder to stay on.
It gets hard, don't it, brother?
Yeah.
And young folks, you know it's hard, ain't it? Girls walking around half naked. Ain't it hard? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Young boys walking around with your pants hanging off, them sisters, y'all being chased by them homosexuals. You should pull your pants up. It gets harder. It's hard. Amen. I'm trying to be real with you because I mean it's a hard thing. Now watch what Paul says. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit. And no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. Verse number 12. He says, and we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the... Watch this. Lord, help me. He says, so we can know... We can know the wonderful things God has created. Watch the gift. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? When we look, watch this here. Watch what Paul says. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truth. See, that truth got to be spiritual. He says that's how we do it. That's how we roll. Ain't that what the mama boy said? That's how we roll up in here. Is that all right? That's how we roll. Now watch what he says. He says, now watch this here. I love verse number 14. Lord, I got to wipe my eyes for this here.
Amen. Amen.
Now look what he said. Now y'all, I hope y'all got the Bible. He said, for people who aren't spiritual. Look at Paul. He changed the direction. He said, for people who aren't spiritual. Now, mind you, who Paul talking to? He's talking to the church. It's some unspiritual folks up in the church. It's some unspiritual folks in the church. Amen. He said, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. Watch to hear. He says, it all sounds foolish to them. He says, and they can't understand it. They can't understand. How in the world can you love somebody that don't love you? How can you give freely? How can you give unconditional? How can you give not expecting anything in return? How can you be, how can you live in love and be sacrificial? Can't understand. I'm going to ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. Raise your hand. How many of us is willing to die for your brother sitting next to you right now? What we are commanded to do just that. Now watch this here. Now let us hasten on with this spiritual thing. He says, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. He says, it all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it. For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means.
Right.
If you're not spiritual, you just keep rambling. You keep on talking about one church.
Yeah.
Okay, we got it. Now what? We got it. You preaching to the choir. Now what? Now what? You got to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can't enter into the kingdom unless you baptize.
Well,
we got it. No mechanical instruments of music in the church. We got it. Ain't none coming up in here. It all sounds foolish to them and they can't understand it. But only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot evaluate by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach God? But we understand these things, for we have the mind. Who have you served lately? Who have you served lately? Am I a slave? Am I a slave? Paul says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but took upon himself the form of a servant. He left heaven's glory. And he came down to die for you and me. When the last time you left your big fine house to go and serve somebody? When the last time you missed a meal to feed somebody? When the last time you went late on your mortgage because the church needs to help somebody that just don't have?
Stay on, brother. Stay on.
When the last time I served? When the last time I took the widows? Matter of fact, who are they? You got a list up? When the last time I went and got the orphan? When the last time I went and took a family that's homeless in the streets and said, church, we're gonna put them up.
Well,
How many in the church have to, how many more in the church have to lose their homes and their cars? And we just walk right on by. Good morning, brother. How you feeling? God bless you. Why my mind is not like Christ? I can't do that. I can't do that unless I'm empowered by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit won't let me go past that man again. The Holy Spirit. Not my spirit, because my spirit was contaminated and polluted. Satan tricked Mama Eve. So how many of us have the mind of Christ? Is my mentality to serve, or do I want somebody to serve me? Is it about what I can get? Why, when I work, I don't work to see, let me show you something. I want to go over here to the book of Ephesians real quick. Mm-hmm. I want to show you something. We're gonna work with this here too. He says in Ephesians four in verse number 25, watch this here. Let us have the mind of God here. Watch this here. He says, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth. For we are all parts of the same body. Mm-hmm. And don't sin. He says, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. For your anger gives a foothold to the devil. Mm-hmm. He says, if you are a thief, quit stealing. Mm-hmm. Instead, use your hands for good, hard work. Mm-hmm. And then give generously to others in need. That's the mind of Christ. You work to give.
Right.
You don't work to stock up on your 401k. You work to give.
Man.
And there's a lot of need in the church. You work to give.
Man.
That's the mind of Christ. And look what he says. Now we can go on. Let us just look at this again. And watch this here. He says, if you are a thief, you quit stealing. Stop robbing God. Instead, use your hands. Oh, that ain't in there. But anyway, instead, use your hands for good hard work.
Mm-hmm.
And then give generously to others in need.
Mm-hmm.
Don't use foul or abusive language. Man, stop all that cussing. Stop all that cussing. Right? He says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing you that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender hearted, forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you.
Amen.
That's the mind.
Amen.
That's the mentality that we must have. Amen. Now watch this here. Now when I go down in that watery grave of baptism, as most of us already have, a birth takes place. God's spirit in essence mate with my spirit. In the sense as the Holy Spirit, it enters into a relationship with me, it takes up residence in the temple, my body. A birth, a supernatural birth, is taking place when one go down in that water. It might not be as a normal birth that we know, but did not Jesus say that flesh give birth to flesh? And so when we go down in that water, really in essence what's happening is a pregnancy is happening.
Right.
I am being shapen in this water. In this watery tomb, I'm being shapen down there.
Yes.
Filth is being washed away.
Right.
Lies are being washed away.
Yes.
Compassion take over hurtfulness.
Yes.
Hatred replaced by love.
Yes.
And then I once I'm clean, and I'm clean, and the Spirit of God is in me, I exit that womb. I come up out of that water.
Right.
Amen. In 1 Corinthians 5:17,
yes,
this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new creation.
Yes.
The old life is gone, and a new life,
yes,
has begun.
Yes.
Is that all right? In 1 John 5, in verse number 13,
mm-hmm,
watch this here. And now, well, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 5:18. And all of this is a gift. I told you to watch the gift. It's a gift from God who brought us back to Himself through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And God has given us this task of reconciling people to Him. That's our job. It's to reconcile, bring people back to God. In 1 John 5 and verse number 13, and God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us.
Amen.
Romans 6 and verse number 4. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of power of the Father, now we also may live what? New lives. Because we done came up out of that tomb. That womb.
Yeah.
We done came up now.
Yeah.
We are new creatures.
Mm-hmm.
We are empowered. We filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then look what Peter says. Now that we done came up. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 2.
Yeah.
As newborn babies desire. Desire the sincere milk of the word. Why? Because you're a baby.
Amen.
So who's your daddy? The Spirit. That should be your daddy. The Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The Father, amen, should be your daddy. As babies instinctively turn to their mother's breast as the only source of their life, so are children. We. Amen. So are all children of God here admonished to desire the spiritual milk, which is without doubt, and which alone can sustain their spiritual life. Now that you have a new life, it should be consistent with your Father's life. You should have love for one another. Agape is giving. We should be selfless. We should expect nothing in return. This love is sacrificial. John 3:16. 1 John 3:16 through 19. We know that real love is what real love is. Because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
That's what real love is. How can you do that? You must be born of the Spirit. So who is your daddy? It's the Spirit. He should be your daddy. Amen. John 13:34-35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you, and that is that you love each other as I have loved you. He says, by this the whole world will know that you are my disciple. Jesus says, the proof to the world is the fact that you love each other. The night before Jesus got ready to go to that cross, he told his disciples, what's going to get you through this persecution? What's going to get you through all of this is the love that you have for each other. Love. Love is what holds us together. We're knitted together in love. But we can only do that if we are empowered with the Holy Spirit. We can only do that if God, the Father, and the Son, and the Spirit is my daddy. That's my daddy. And so my character should be consistent with my daddy. You know, my biological father, you know what? That man was a straight alcoholic. Died an alcoholic. And I swore him down as a child, I wouldn't be like him. Grew up to be just like him, drank more than he did. Amen. A study was done many years ago, and this is how they was trying to prove the addiction model. And that was, you know what? They took orphans that had never seen their fathers, and you know what? They took them, and then, man, these people was in their 30s and 40s and 50s, and they went back and they started finding their parents, and you know what? They was just like them. See, when you're born, when your Father is the Holy Spirit, you're going to walk in the Spirit. You're just instinctively going to do it. You know, when folk come to you, you just automatically, you help when you don't even think twice about it. You don't have, and I guarantee you, everybody sitting in here, as much as you might try and deny, you're just like your Father in some ways. You find yourself sometimes, and you can say, boy, just like my dad. You can't get away from that. And so the same way in the spiritual. And so when you are empowered with the Holy Spirit, it just naturally comes out. So who's your daddy? It should be the Holy Spirit. In 1 John, and watch this here, Jeremiah 33 and verse number 3. Love like this is everlasting. 1 John 4:16, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God. And God in him. We can't do it, church, unless we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Unless the Holy Spirit is our Father. He must be our Father. And we will be able to act like him. But then on the other hand, amen, the devil can be your dad. John 8 and verse number 44. For you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is a liar and the father of. You ever notice folks that just can't stop lying? They're just like their dad. just like they did. Amen. They just like they did. That's why John says, test the spirits to see if in fact they are of God.
Amen.
Some folk, man, I done seen demons in the church. Can't stop lying. We'll just stand and tell you a lie straight to your face. Demons do everything to tie the church up. Folks just deliberately try and tear the church down. Think that is the devil. Because Jesus says he come not for but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. You got folk in the church that just can't love each other. Just can't love. And so what they do, they become murderers. As John says over in 1 John, they become like Cain. And he says, you know, no murderer can enter into the kingdom of God. He won't make it into heaven. A murderer.
Right.
So don't ever think that, see, folk take this stuff lightly. Folk take it lightly. That the devil is not running wild in the church. Man, the way we treat each other some places is just ridiculous. You know Jesus ain't nowhere near them. It's the truth. Jesus told them Jews, you know, he says, look, you are the children of your father. Jesus said, you must be born again. And David says in Psalms 51 in verse number 5, watch this. He says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, David says, I was born with a carnal mind. And a mind that is naturally hostility towards God. Romans 5 in verse number 12, wherefore? As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Right.
Romans 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift. What's the gift?
Yep.
But the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yes, sir.
Now for those that are in the body and have quenched the spirit, have put the spirit out of your life according to 1 Thessalonians 5:19, have put him out your life, have quenched him, have took what fire extinguisher and put him out. He's no longer by default. Your daddy is safe. If the spirit ain't in you, I wonder who is. So watch this now. So who is your dad? He was a murderer. Are you loving to the point where you watch this here? Are you assassinating folk
character?
Are you on the telephone assassinating each other's character? By default. Your dad is the devil. I ain't scared to say it. I'm not scared to say it. Same with me. If you lie, if you lie on folk, and know you're lying, you're gossiping, you're lying. By default. If you're a beast, in other words, you're robbing God. You making $1,000 a week and you giving God $1, $2. By default. If you ain't giving God anything. If you ain't taking care of your preacher. If you ain't taking care of your preacher. When we are to take care of the preacher, when Paul talks about taking care of the man of God, 1 Corinthians 9, when Paul talks about this, when we talk about, when the Bible talks about esteeming the man that have the control over you, esteeming him, and you will fight. because somebody wanted to give him an appreciation day. It ain't scriptural. Well, a lot of stuff we do ain't scriptural. So when we want to raise funds, we want to have a fundraiser. You know what we want to do? We want to have a fundraiser so that we can go and help somebody. God don't need your money. No, he don't, but them folk out there hungry sure do. See, the Spirit would never let me say something like that. Somebody having a fundraiser, somebody going to have a garage sale at their house, and it ain't scriptural. And you up in there playing BB King and all that stuff in your house and drinking and all that, and then, you know, a garage sale to help the church is not scriptural. Yeah, I got BB King up in there. So, church, who is your dad? Who is your father? Everybody in this room got a spiritual father, and everybody in here has a biological father. And we need to ask ourselves the question, who is my dad? I need to ask myself that question, who am I consistent with? Who is my character consistent with? Am I a loving, a peaceful man, or am I always trying to tear down everybody and the church?
Good question, brother.
Am I lying on you? Am I stealing? What am I doing? What am I giving to God? Who have I brought to the service lately? Who have I had a Bible class with lately? What have I done for the kingdom lately? What have I done for my father lately? We'll fuss and fight every time when we try. And why do people... Oh, come on, church. Y'all stay with me now. Why? Why do we keep going around this mountain? It's time now, church, that we stop. I don't care if you hate me, like me, dislike me. I don't care. The church is in a mess.
Lord, help us. Lord, help us.
I'm the one that said, I ain't got no salary to protect. They don't pay me nothing anyway. Let them keep it. But I'm going to tell you, the church is in a mess. And you know, it's a shame. It's a shame. Now watch this here. You think I'm lying, brother? Watch this. I ain't going to look at nobody else. I'm going to look down this way. But you know, it's a shame, isn't it? That congregation has been sitting on the same corner 65, 70 years. And they only got 40 people.
Man. That's it.
Get 100 people and think you got a mega church. I ain't looking at nobody. Church is split. And people follow them. And people support slips. We'll fellowship them just like Boy Bane did nothing. And they done tore the church up. I ain't looking at nobody.
Don't look at nobody.
Why do we keep going around this mountain? Why can't we in this city? Now, you don't live here. I used to, so I can talk about it. I'm gonna talk. I didn't talk about it then, but I'm gonna talk about it now. Why in the world can't this city come together? Why can't this city come together? Why this congregation over here and don't like this congregation when they get together on the fourth Sunday singing, everybody just up there grandstanding, and ain't no spirit nowhere? Why? Why? So why can't we come together and do a revival? A tent revival. Why can't we have a stomped down revival? Why can't we just come together and just prostrate ourselves in front of God and just let everything out? Just let it go. Why can't we just come together and praise God? Why can't we come together and have a campaign that we I know Grand Avenue is a little short on cash, and I know Raven Street is a little short on cash right now, and I know that other congregation over there is a little short on cash, and I know that congregation over there is a little short on cash. Well, why don't we collectively all come together and say, you know what, we're going to start a We Care program in the city of San Diego, so we're going to raise our banner out there and say, this is the Church of Christ. Have a feeding program. Good question. Because, see, when your daddy is the death, you gonna lie? Cheat? And everybody wanna be the big cheat. That's why Satan got kicked up out of heaven, didn't he? Everybody want to be the big chief. See, I'll take the back seat. But you give me the pulpit, you know I'm a preacher. But I'll take the back seat. I will. Just to see the church go forward. And y'all can raise your hand on this. I'm asking questions, then I'm going to close. I'm going to close. Who in here is tired? Just tired of what we see. Well, it's an overwhelming consensus that we are tired. So let's do something about it. Let's meet the Holy Spirit tonight. Let us meet. Let us meet. If you have quenched him, you know who you are. If you have put him out of your life, invite him back in your life tonight. Yeah. If you got something against somebody, you get it straight right now. Yeah. Don't leave this place. Yeah. If that person is in here tonight, get it straight.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
If you got something against yourself, you forgive yourself tonight. Because you'll never move on until you forgive yourself. You want to change it? Invite him in your life tonight. If you're not a child of God tonight, please invite him in your life. I want you to tonight, if you're not a child of God, I want you to come down here tonight. I want you to come down here, and I want you to ask God. God, please give me your spirit.
Amen.
We will baptize you tonight.
Amen.
God will give you His spirit tonight.
Promise. Yes, sir. Yes.
And then you can walk tonight in the newness of life.
Amen.
If Satan have taken over your life tonight, you need to get right.
Amen.
You need to get right. If you've been a hindrance in the church, you need to stop it. You need to get right.
Amen.
If you've been sitting on the stool of do nothing, you need to get up.
Yes, sir.
God wants you.
Amen.
We got a mission field that's white out there. It's ready for harvest.
Amen.
But we'll never get to it until we collectively come together.
Hallelujah.
And we'll never come together until we're unified in the Spirit.
Amen.
That's what Ephesians 4 is telling us. We can't do it, but the Spirit can. You got the Spirit, I got the Spirit. There's no way we're going to argue about anything. All we're going to see is the suffering of humanity. It takes the Spirit for you to see that. You can't see it by yourself. Because just naturally we have a pride of life.
Yes.
The lust of the eye. It takes the Holy Spirit. Your Father must empower you tonight.
Amen.
So if you're here tonight, you're not a child of God, I encourage you, please come give me your hand. And you can become a child of God tonight by obeying the facts of the gospel. And that is believing that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. He was buried in the heart of the earth, and he rose again the third day of mighty conquering King. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, according to Romans 10:17. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. And then one must repent. Change directions tonight. Change the direction. Say, I want to get rid of this filth. And what I want to do is get that living water. I want it bubbling in me. I want it running over. I want it to wash all of this dirt out of me. I want this living water tonight. I want this gift that God said is freely given to you. I want it tonight. Repent. Change directions. Acts 17:30. The Bible says that one time God winked at this ignorance. You know, God winked at this foolishness.
Amen.
But you know what? He says, in these last days, God have commanded all men everywhere to repent.
Amen.
Jesus said in Luke 13:8, I'll tell you no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then after that great repentance, let us confess the sweetest name, O mortal tongue. That is Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess men, confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever denied me before men, him will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. Well, what are you saying, Jesus? If you will, I will. But if you won't,
I won't.
Then after that noble confession, after you said them beautiful words, stood before this audience, then you can come down and we'll baptize you for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. But I love what Jesus said in Mark 16:16. See, I love Jesus. I love Paul too. I love Peter and all, but I love Jesus. Jesus says, he that believes, and he is baptized, shall be saved. Do you believe tonight? Do you believe tonight that the Spirit is your Father? Do you want the Spirit to be your Father? Do you want the Spirit to be your Father? That's going to guide you into all truth. Where you can love one another. Where you can have joy. Where you can have peace in your life. Where you can have patience in your life. Where you can have kindness in your life. Where you can have gentleness in your life. And most of all, you can have self-control. And Paul says there is no law. There is no law against that. I don't care what you say. I know I kept you in here late. Ain't no law against that either.
Ain't no law against that.
Amen. But I want, you know, I'm serious, church. What I want, this is what I want. I want to see every man saved. That's why I preach. I don't care about what you want. I preach because I want to see every man saved. Every man. And the road that we on, we in trouble. We are in trouble. See, it's an overwhelming consensus. I'm not the only one. Maybe y'all talk about it in the bedroom, or you talk about it at the table. I just got the pulpit and I talk about it. I'm everything that I say it from the depths of my soul. I love the church.
Amen.
You know why I love the church? Because it saved my life.
Amen. Surely. Amen.
I was in the streets. I wasn't a pretty picture. Still ugly, but I wasn't a pretty picture. I was confused. But the gospel message, the power, changed me. And here I am standing in the pulpit. You think I'm going to get up there and give you something sweet? I'd give you a little sweet, but I'm going to have to touch it up too. The church, the Bible says in Acts 20:28, didn't I say that Christ purchased it with his blood? It cost God. It cost God his blood. It cost him his life. And do you think we're going to get away with this thing this easy? We can just act up, mess up, cut up, and fuss up, and we just going to walk up in his heaven? No. No. And so, who is your dad? You want God to be your dad? Come forward.
Yeah.
Come forward to me. If you want Satan to continue to be your daddy, or you want him to be your daddy by default, just stay on back there. You want Christ to come forward and let the church pray for you.
Amen.
Church, please continue to pray for me.
Amen.
That God will keep me strong.
Amen.
Please continue to pray for me.
Amen.
That God will continue to watch over me. God guide and protect me. Please continue to pray for me. That I can do God's will.
Yes.
It's not easy. It's not easy. Satan chases me just like he chases everybody else. He probably chased me a little bit harder. So please continue to pray for me for strength. Please continue to pray for me for my sins that I've committed. I've gotten them right with God, but pray for me that I will not commit those sins again. That God will keep me strong. Please pray for me. Pray for me that I can continue to fight the good fight of faith. I'm praying for you. You please pray for me. We're going to be singing a song of invitation.